Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth, and today the devotion of Our Lady of Sorrows, Day 7. And the seven sorrows of Mary are St. Simeon's prophecy, that's number one. Number two, the flight into Egypt. Number three, the loss of Jesus in the temple. Number four, the meeting of Jesus and Mary on the way to Calvary. Number five, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Number six, the piercing of the side of Jesus and his descent from the cross. Number seven, the burial of Jesus. According to St. Alphonsus de Liguori, from his The Glories of Mary, it was revealed to St. Elizabeth that at the request of Our Lady, our Lord promised principal graces to those who devote to those devoted to her sorrows. And these are promises our Lord has made. I will grant peace to their families. That's one. Number two, they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. Number three, I will console them in their pains, and I will accompany them in their work. Number four, I will give them as much as they ask for as long as it does not oppose the adorable will of my divine Son or the sanctification of their souls. Number five, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. Number six, I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. Number seven, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven, and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. and the month of September is dedicated to the seven sorrows of Mary. And so each day we begin with, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pope Pius VII approved this novena in honor of the Seven Sorrows for Mary meditation in 1815. O Lord, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I grieve for thee, O Mary, most sorrowful, for the pains that wrench thy most loving heart at the burial of Jesus. Dear Mother, by thy heart sunk in the bitterness of desolation, obtain for me the virtue of diligence and the gift of wisdom. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Virgin most sorrowful, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And let us pray. Let intercession be made for us, we beseech thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, now and at the hour of our death, before the throne of your mercy, by the Blessed Virgin Mary, your mother, our mother, whose most holy soul was pierced by a sword of sorrow in the hour of your bitter passion. We ask this through you, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, world without end. Amen. And for day 7, secret suffering. We look all around us at church and see them, all the people whose kids never seem to scream and who look like they haven't a problem in the world. But what if we really knew them? We would see the secret sufferings that mirror our own. Mass is the gathering of those who have looked at their own brokenness through the lenses of the cross and lived. Today is the perfect day to pray for all God's broken children, and especially those who are tempted to break the lives of others. So, suffering. Have you ever contemplated what Jesus suffered the most as he went through his passion to the cross? Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, a French abbot, asking our Lord that very question. And Jesus responded, I had on my shoulder while I bore my cross on the way of sorrows a grievous wound that was more painful than the others, and which is not recorded by men. Honor this wound with thy devotion, and I will grant you whatsoever you do ask through its virtue and merit. And in regard to all those who shall venerate this wound, I will remit to them all their venial sins, and will no longer remember their mortal sins. A couple of thoughts I have on this. What a grace it would be to have Jesus respond to you in such a way. Jesus has shared revelation to his saints going back to the very beginning. That is amazing. This response from Jesus is not only for Saint Bernard, but for all of us who have recourse to Jesus and his suffering. And while at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I was playing first base for my unit softball team when a ball was hit towards our third baseman, who threw the ball to me way off the bag. I had to dive for the ball when the runner ran into me, hitting my shoulder. It was a spectacle, as all anyone saw from the what was the dust cloud that covered myself and the runner. The runner was like nearly 300 pounds, hitting my right shoulder with his right shin. Everything went colorless as I began to go into a form of shock. I suffered a third-degree separation, which took a while to heal. Jesus can certainly understand my suffering, as he suffered greater than anyone could imagine. I was taken off the field and taken to the emergency room. Jesus continued on towards Calvary. St. Padre Pio also had a great devotion to the suffering of Christ. He suffered the stigmata for more than 50 years. St. Padre Pio responded to Pope St. John Paul II, the future Pope, Pope St. John Paul II, when he asked what wounds caused the most pain. And St. Padre Pio responded, "It is my shoulder wound, which no one knows about and has never been cured or treated." In 2008, 40 years after Padre Pio's death, author Frank Riga wrote about Padre Pio. At one time, Padre had confided to Brother Fusi how the doorkeeper, now the doorkeeper at Padre Pio's friary in San Giovanni Rotondo, Italy, that his greatest pains occurred when he changed his undershirt. Brother Battistino, like Father, well, like Pope St. John Paul II, thought that Padre Pio was suffering to pains from the chest wound. Then on February 4th, 1971, Brother Battistino was assigned the task of taking an inventory of all the items in the deceased Padre's cell in the friary, and also his belongings in the archives. That day, he discovered that one of Padre Pio's undershirts bore a circle of bloodstains in the area of the right shoulder. On that very evening, Brother Battistino asked Padre Pio in prayer to enlighten him about the meaning of the bloodstained undershirt. He asked Padre to give him a sign if he truly bore Christ's shoulder wound. Then he went to sleep, awakening at 1 a.m. with a terrible excruciating pain in his shoulder, as if he had been sliced with a knife up to the shoulder bone. He felt that he would die from the pain if it continued, but it lasted only a short time. Then the room became filled with the aroma of a heavenly perfume of flowers, the sign of Padre Pio's spiritual presence, as he heard a voice saying, "This is what I had to suffer." St. Bernard of Clairvaux was moved to compose this prayer, wanting to honor the Lord's shoulder wound and the pain Jesus endured, and prayer to the shoulder wound of Christ. "Most loving Jesus, meek Lamb of God, I, a miserable sinner, salute and worship, honor the most sacred wound of your shoulder, on which you did bear your heavy cross, which so tore your flesh and laid bare your bones as to inflict on you an anguish greater than any other wound of your most blessed body. I adore you, O Jesus, most sorrowful. I praise and glorify you and give you thanks for this most grace, for this most sacred and painful wound, beseeching you by that exceeding pain and by the crushing burden of your heavy cross to be merciful to me, a sinner, to forgive me all my mortal and venial sins, and to lead me on towards heaven along the way of your cross. Amen." and suffering, offering it up. As Catholics, we have that slogan that we say when we're suffering, offer it up. Redemptive suffering is an act of love. In Jesus' announcements of suffering, the Christian understanding of suffering is clearly expressed. Suffering is not the final aim and end in itself in the realization of human destiny. It is the gateway to resurrection, to rebirth, to new creation. The Catholic Church sees human suffering as a chance to follow the example of Christ and believe that it is a part of God's plan. The document aims to reconcile suffering and pain with the belief in a loving God. Those who suffer here on earth are united in that suffering with Christ, who died on the cross. Suffering can make us more resilient, better able to endure hardships. Just as a muscle, in order to build up, must endure some pain, so our emotions must endure pain in order to be strengthened. Whatever we endure, we can offer on behalf of others. Just as Jesus offered the pain of the cross and all the other sorrows, we remember the seven sorrows of Mary. Whatever we suffer, we can offer it up. What does it mean to offer something up? Well, Pope Benedict asked that question and proposed an answer. He said it means we can insert our annoyances, great and small, into Jesus' great suffering so that they somehow become part of the treasury of compassion so greatly needed by the human race. He said, in this way, even the small inconveniences of daily life acquire meaning and contribute to the economy of good and of human love. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, St. Paul says, I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, in my flesh. I am completing what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Much like in the ocean, through the air, clouds are formed, and the wind blows the clouds overland, and it causes rain. And right now, we're going through a hurricane in Florida, and sometimes it's overloaded. And sometimes do we feel that our pain and our suffering is overloaded? Sometimes we feel that way. But we can offer them up in God's divine plan and be connected and united in the sufferings of Jesus. And so redemptive suffering is an act of love. We love God above all things. And so Jesus made this promise. I promise that the soul that will venerate this image, the image of the divine mercy, will not perish. That's Diary 48, Faustina's diary. I am offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy. That vessel is this image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. Diary 327. The souls that say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime and especially at the hour of their death. Diary 754. Number one, I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the font of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. Diary 699. Number two, mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. Diary 300. Number three, let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice. Diary 848. Number four, he who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice. Diary 1146. Number five, souls perish in spite of my bitter passion. I am giving them the last hope of salvation, that is, the feast of my mercy. If they will not adore my mercy, they will perish for all eternity. Diary 965. Number six, my heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners. If only they could understand that I am the best of fathers to them, and that it is for them that the blood and water flowed from my heart, as from a fount overflowing with mercy. Diary 367. Number seven, these rays shield souls from the wrath of my Father. Happy is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold of him. I desire that the first Sunday after Easter be the Feast of Mercy. Diary 299. Number eight, my daughter, write with the greater. Write the greater the misery of a soul, the greater its right to my mercy. All souls to trust in the unfathomable abyss of my mercy, because I want to save them all. Diary 1182. Number nine, the greater the sinner, the greater the right he has to my mercy. My mercy is confirmed in every work of my hands. He who trusts in my mercy will not perish, for all his affairs are mine, and his enemies will be shattered at the base of my footstool. Diary 723. Number 10. Let the greatest sinners place their trust in my mercy. They have the right before others to trust in the abyss of my mercy. My daughter, as would be St. Faustina, write about my mercy towards tormented souls. Souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even more graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. But on the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. Diary 1146. Number 11. I want to grant a complete pardon to the souls that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion on the Feast of my Mercy. Diary 1106, or excuse me, Diary 1109. Number 12, I desire trust from my creatures. Encourage souls to place great trust in my fathomless mercy. Let the weak, sinful soul have no fear to approach me, for even if it had more sins than there are grains of sand in the world, all would be drowned in the unmeasurable depths of my mercy. Diary 1059. Number 13. I demand the worship of my mercy through the solemn celebration of the feast and through the veneration of the image, which is painted by means of this image. I shall grant many graces to souls. It is to be a reminder of the demands of my mercy, because even the strongest faith is of no avail without works. Diary 742. Number 14, tell all people, my daughter, that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. Jesus, the Diary 1074. Number 15, I am offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy. That vessel is this image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. Diary 327. Number 16, I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death. I myself will defend it as my own glory. Jesus, Diary 48. Number 17. Souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives as a tender mother, her infant. And at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but the merciful Savior. At that last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. Happy is the soul that during its lifetime immersed itself in the fountain of mercy, because justice will have no hold on it. Diary 1075. And here at Deeper Truth wants to encourage everyone to add this devotion of the divine mercy into your daily prayer routine. May the mercy of God grant eternal life to all those who seek Him and refuge against evil. Amen. That we will walk and stay online.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolts. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
While serving in the Army deployed to Iraq, It was a daily routine in a war zone to handle the dead and wounded. We had to be prepared at any moment's notice, 24/7. Sometimes it can happen multiple times a day with many casualties. A good day would be when we lost no one. Sometimes the only thing I could do for someone is praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. There may not be anything we can do, as the wounds were just too catastrophic. sometimes, actually, most of the time, there is no priest available on the battlefield, nor in most of the frontline aid stations. When we receive casualties, there are so many things that happen at once. I might be involved with CPR, trying to keep someone alive until the doc calls it. I would silently pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. I would be looking around, ensuring that all can be done, making sure that the casualties are packaged and ready for air transport medevac if the sky is green. If the sky is red, that presents problems getting a ground convoy. Continue in my mind, I would pray. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. I remember the promise our good Lord made to Saint Faustina, consoling her for the dying. If someone prays the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the soul would find peace. That hits home for me literally, as my mother would be told she had 2 days to live. She developed a massive blood clot that lodged in her right lower leg, causing it to turn blue. Without circulation, her leg did not make it. When I arrived at the hospital, the doctors did not believe she would survive the night. They gave her 2 days to live. My brother and I took Mom home to die, as she didn't want to die in the hospital, but at home with her family around her. As soon as we got her in her bed, I elevated her leg, giving some support. I placed a rosary above the site where it was dead and bathed the area with holy water and prayer. Mom's medication, such as morphine, helped at times, but what helped her most was praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet with me. She felt at peace with herself, and she was able to rest. This went on for about 10 days when I had to get an extension on my leave, as Mom was living longer than what the doctors projected. I was sitting next to her bed when Mom asked me, Do you believe that the Lord will receive me when I pass? And I told Mom, Mom, you know he will receive you. You can trust in his word and stand on what he says. That's when I began to sing to her a song we sing at Mass, Be Not Afraid. Gigi, my wife, was standing on the other side of the bed when she saw Mom's rosary on her desk, so she gave it to Mom to hold. As we were singing the song together, Mom was holding a rosary. It was at this point I noticed the rosary changed from silver to gold in her hands. What a sign this was for us, as I will write here that the Lord gave my mother another 18 months. Mom was finally taken by the Lord on 1 August 2006. I will never forget how the Divine Mercy Chaplet made such an impact for my mom. That would lead to the earlier scenario in the absence of a priest, without the anointing of the sick, last rites. The Divine Mercy Chaplet is an important devotion. I have met parents of soldiers who have died that were consoled by me when learning of our dedication of the Divine Mercy Chaplet praying for their sons. The devotion of the Divine Mercy is a 9-day novena beginning on Good Friday that goes to Divine Mercy Sunday. Jesus told Saint Faustina, These souls cause me more suffering than any others. It was from such souls that my soul felt the most revulsion in the Garden of Olives. It was on their account that I said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by. The last hope of salvation for them is to flee to my mercy. Saint Faustina wrote in her diary, on each day of the novena, you will bring to my heart a different group of souls, and you will immerse them in this ocean of my mercy. On each day, you will beg my Father on the strength of my passion for the graces for these souls. The opening prayer. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world, O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy. Envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us, O blood and water which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us. I trust in you. And so this 9-day novena. So I encourage people to look this up and so the issue of offering up our suffering, offering up our suffering and tying or and connecting ourselves in a personal way with Jesus' suffering. And so we ask the Lord to keep us in his mercy. So pray the divine mercy. Pray it along with the rosary, the graces that we receive that the Lord has given us through these devotions, through his Holy Catholic Church. That is what's so important. So connect yourself with his Holy Catholic Church and frequent the sacraments, especially confession and the Eucharist. and his truth is marching on. And for the sake of his sorrowful passion, pray for America. Pray for America.
It hardly seems like a year ago that I packed my bags and some money I'd saved. I had a yearning to find myself and to see this land of the free and the brave. I saw my first mountain sunrise from an Appalachian range. I felt a heavenly presence and a rushing wind of change. I am an American man. I'm made of American dreams. I am an American man. Returning to the things the land who toil with their hands for an honest day's wage. I've seen the stuff from which legends were born and destinies reached and histories made. It seems we've come to a crossroad. All our standards are compromised. I pray that our lady liberty will awaken before she dies.
I am with thee. Blessed
Now and at the hour of our death.